But our war is a spiritual war. It's not fought with violence. It's not fought with hateful words and propaganda. It's not fought with weapons and bombs. It is a battle with Satan's forces over the gospel. It is a battle of words and teaching. And the stakes could not be higher. Eternal life and death. There are victories and there are casualties. Ministry is war. We see in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, we're going to be in 1 Timothy, but I want you to see that this is not just something that's in 1 Timothy. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, Paul encourages the Ephesian believers. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." In other words, people are not our enemies. "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter encourages his listeners, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Lions hang out around the edges where the sick and the feeble and the weak hang out, looking to snatch away. Be watchful. Be serious-minded, because ministry is war. In our passage today, we'll see the first appearance of Satan in the book of 1 Timothy. He appears several times throughout the book. It is a battle that began in the Garden of Eden, and it continues, and that's even mentioned in 1 Timothy 2:14. It says, "And Adam was not deceived, but the woman was deceived," implied by Satan, "and she became a transgressor." Satan still wars with God's family. He tries to lure people away through false teaching, through worldliness, through legalism, any way that he can get people off of the gospel. And in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared." Consciences that are seared by not discerning between what is good and what is evil. And one would expect what would follow would be a list of licentious sins, but actually they forbid marriage, they forbid certain foods, they get very legalistic. Satan wants us to not partake of what good things God has given us here on this earth. There's a war going on. Satan's family is at war with God's family. Some of the younger widows in 1 Timothy 5:15, we are told, have already strayed after Satan. That this time not through legalism, but through licentiousness. 1 Timothy 3:6, new converts. He likes to lay snares for new converts and condemn them in their sin. In 1 Timothy 3:6, Paul talks about potential elders. He says he must not be a recent convert, or he may become puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders, so that he may not fall into disgrace, into the snare of the devil. In short, ministry is war. And we come to our passage today, 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 through 20. We read this: "This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme." Ministry is spiritual warfare. And because ministry is spiritual warfare, Faith Baptist Church needs to authorize capable men to engage in the fight. Faith Baptist Church needs to authorize capable men to engage in the fight. I want you to see this first, that because ministry is warfare, Faith Baptist needs men commissioned for the cause. Look at verse 18. Commissioned for the cause. This charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. What's the charge Paul is referring to here? It's found back up in verses 3 and 4. There's some bad teaching going on. Remember, I told you our warfare is over the gospel, over words, over teaching. Verse 3 says, as I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The gospel is the family business. And as a church, we are to stay focused on the stewardship of the gospel. Different doctrine is not to be taught. Nor are we to become devoted to things that cause speculations and distract us from gospel work. What are some things in our day that are distractions from gospel work that people tend to teach or to bring up, even in church settings, that can be a distraction from the gospel? You may think of your own. I've listed out three here. There's more. First, politics. Politics. This is an election year. You can spend a lot of time talking about politics, and you'll spend 2 minutes in a voting booth doing what you can do. Pray, vote, pray. We'll see how we ought to vote, see how we ought to pray coming up, Lord willing, in our next message from 1 Timothy. But politics can get us off the gospel. Another thing that can become a divisive thing in a church, it can be a different teaching and can become, people can become devoted to it, is the mode of educating our children. Some people say you should homeschool your children, and some people say you should send your kids to Christian schools, and some say that, well, no, a public school is fine. And you need to know what your convictions are in that area. And I have things I would encourage you to do. But we don't have any hard and fast rules that we have to make. We have to learn to agree to disagree agreeably in these matters. How you educate your children can become something that can cause speculations and divisions in the church and can get us off of the gospel. Something that happened a few years ago, these things like this come and go, but there was something called an Enneagram personality test, okay? Got real big a few years ago. And suddenly everybody's like, oh, you need to do this test. It teaches you so much about yourself and all this other, you know, and things like that. Fine, you can take a test, but don't make it it's like, everybody in the church needs to do this, right? No, everybody in the church needs to be about the gospel, right? So we have to constantly be on guard as trends come and trends go and elections come and elections go. We as a church need to every day be about the gospel. Ministry is warfare, and pastors, also called elders, are charged to keep the congregation focused on the gospel. That's what we see here that Paul is doing with Timothy. And it continues on into our day. Pastors are charged to keep the congregation focused on the gospel. So that's the charge. What's the commission? Well, Paul says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. Faith Baptist Church needs to commission men, qualified men, into this battle, into the cause of the gospel. He talks about in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you. Now, we can debate and talk about prophecy and how it's different in the early church versus now that we have the completed scriptures. Even if you have questions about that, we've been talking about that in Sunday school. I would encourage you to be here next Sunday for that. But what we have is this gift that was entrusted, this commissioning of Timothy, Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. We get a little more detail. Paul entrusts Timothy with this charge because it is in line with what he was commissioned to do earlier in his life. Not just anyone can be an elder in the church. That's part of the theme of 1 Timothy. Not anyone can be an elder in the church. Not just anyone can teach in the church. Look at 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. This laying on of the hands is authorizing, giving authority to. At Faith Baptist Church, we need men who we can commission as elders to help keep the congregation focused on the gospel. How did this prophecy happen? One commentator said this concerning prophecy. The one with such a gift had the ability to speak revelation in the present that would bring conviction and repentance. It was speech that was understandable by all, and the content of the prophecy was subject to the discerning judgment of all others in the congregation with the prophetic gift. It is something that where God's will would be revealed to a group of people prior to the scriptures being written. How did it happen in the early church? If you look over to Acts 13, we kind of see how it worked in the church, and we find some principles I think we can even apply in our day. Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, says, "Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off." Now, we're not told how the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul." Okay? But I can tell you how it would happen in our day at Faith Baptist Church. Perhaps you're praying and asking God, "Lord, please raise up for Faith Baptist Church some elders, some pastors that can help lead our congregation and maybe even become pastors of other churches in the valley or even on the mission field." And you're praying, and as you're praying, God brings somebody to your mind. The Holy Spirit moves us to observe people. And then we may even say to that person, "Hey, have you ever considered being a pastor at Faith Baptist Church?" And maybe they haven't. And then you say, "Well, maybe you should." And then you begin to pray about it. And maybe you bring it to the current pastors, to Pastor Tad and myself. And you say, "Hey, I was thinking, I think so-and-so would be a good potential elder here at Faith Baptist Church." And then Pastor Tad and I would pray about it. We pray about it. And every so often, from time to time, we'll talk and we'll discuss individuals that we think maybe have a potential to be elders in the church. And then we can recommend them to you, right? If we feel that we have someone, we can recommend them as an elder to you, and then you vote because we're congregational, and we believe the Holy Spirit works through the congregation. And if you're going to submit to your elders, you ought to have a voice in who are your elders, right? And so we can present someone to you, and you say yes or no. We want to recommend this person as a pastor. You decide who will lead you. And so that's kind of how the process would work here at Faith Baptist Church. Have you been praying for pastors, for more pastors here at Faith Baptist Church? And you're like, "Well, we got two. How many do we need?" Well, and I don't mean this to puff myself up on a Sunday or Pastor Tad, but the scriptures do say that we are gifts to the church. Okay? Now, don't go out of here and say, "Boy, that pastor, he thinks he's just God's gift to the church." I don't mean it in that way. But in Ephesians 4, it does describe shepherds and teachers, pastors, as gifts to the church. Now, let me ask you this. How many gifts do you like to get on Christmas? Many as I can get, right? Many as I can get. Many as they'll give me, especially when you're younger. As you're getting older, you're just like, "No, I don't need anything else to box up," right? Especially when you think about moving. But when you're young, you're just like, "Oh yeah, pile them up till you can't see the tree," right? Well, how many pastors does Faith Baptist Church need? Well, I would answer by saying as many as God will give us. as many as God will give us. At Faith Baptist Church, we need men who we can commission as elders to help us keep the congregation focused on the gospel. So pray for us that God will gift us with more elders. Watch the men around us for those who you think may be qualified. And then I would say to the men here who are members at Faith Baptist Church, have you considered becoming a pastor? You can be a lay pastor. You know, continue to work your secular job and then work as a pastor here at the church helping us. It doesn't necessarily mean full time, but it could. May come a day we need to plant a church somewhere, or there may come a need in another church here in the valley and we can recommend you. Beloved, consider, would God want me to pastor? Would God want me to care for the souls of people? If you haven't considered it, maybe you should. Because ministry is warfare, Faith Baptist Church needs competent men ready for spiritual conflict. Competent men ready for spiritual conflict. Look at the end of verse 18 and starting at verse 19. He says, by them, that's the prophecies. In other words, those are the things that said set aside Timothy and use him as a pastor. And so now we've talked about that, right? Perhaps someone will come forward, we'll lay our hands on them as elders, and we'll commission them to be elders in our church because we have confidence in them. We've observed their gifts, just like Timothy's gifts were observed. And then he was given authority. So that by them you may wage the good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. Pastors, first of all, must be competent in the faith. They must understand the gospel well. They must understand that God created all things and he has authority because he created all things. He has authority to tell us what we should do and what we should not do. And that mankind has rejected God's authority in their lives and said, hey, I know better what I want to do and what I think I should do, and they've rebelled against God, and that's called sin. But God, in his love for mankind, sent Jesus Christ to die for our sin and to be resurrected, to be the king of our lives. And that if you will repent of your sin and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can be saved from the punishment for your sin, which is eternity in hell. Life and death in the gospel. Nothing's more important. Perhaps you're hearing this today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I would urge you, do that immediately. Repent of your sin and ask God to forgive you because of what Christ did for you in his death, burial, and resurrection. But men who are going to be in the ministry need to understand the gospel. They need to have the faith and they need to hold the faith. They need to be strong in their faith. Sound in their theology, knowing God and trusting him with their lives. Their knowledge of God and the gospel will be the foundation on which they stand when engaged in spiritual warfare. It's one thing to put on a bulletproof vest. I've never done this, okay, so I speak from ignorance, but some of you guys probably have. It's one thing to put on a bulletproof vest. It's another to let somebody shoot you, right? It's like, well, I believe this will stop a bullet. But it's a whole other thing when somebody actually shoots a bullet at you. Is it going to withstand it? You need to know what you believe about the gospel. You need to know your God, because when you enter the battle, Satan's going to fire at you. And you need to know what you believe. So we need men who are competent in their faith. But not only that, they need to have a good conscience. A good conscience here is discerning between good and evil, between what's permissible and what's wise. Pastors get into trouble when they sear their conscience with sin. They lose discernment between good and evil, between permissible and wise. It can happen with licentiousness. It can happen with law-keeping. Note what Paul says about those devoted to teachings of demons in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. We read these earlier. Let's read them again. It says, now the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. This is the warfare. through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared. The teaching of demons doesn't come directly from demons. It moves through men who have seared their conscience. They don't have a good conscience anymore. And in this particular case, in verse 3, he talks about those who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. That's why I think it's important for Christians to pray over their meals. As a side note, be thankful to God for what He's given you. You see, because ministry is warfare, Faith Baptist Church needs competent men for spiritual conflict. And it's called the good warfare. It's not the distracted warfare. It's not the evil warfare that we see going on in our world today. It's not the violent warfare. It's the good fight Paul talks about. I have fought the fight. I have kept the faith. Faith Baptist Church needs competent men ready for spiritual conflict. Now, one commentator said this in the New American Commentary. Most religious error is born of moral rebellion rather than intellectual denial. In other words, I don't change what I think about God until I change what I think is right and wrong for me to do. I rebel morally against what God has said is right and wrong. Suddenly I begin to say what is good, marriage, in the case of 1 Timothy, is evil. And I begin to say that certain foods, which God has called good, are evil. Or I begin to say that certain way of living is good when God calls it evil, etc., etc. Okay? You see how it works. Moral rebellion leads us then to our next point. We need men who are committed, committed men to avoid catastrophes. Because ministry is warfare, Faith Baptist Church needs committed men to avoid catastrophes. Look at verse 19, the last part there. Well, verse 19, we'll start with verse 19. He finishes up the previous sentence by saying, holding faith in a good conscience. And then he says, by rejecting this, that's the good conscience. By rejecting this, some have made shipwreck of their faith, among whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. See, they've rejected the good conscience that tells them what is good and what is bad. They reject that, and then all of a sudden, they're rejecting the faith. They've made shipwreck of their faith. These men that Paul mentions have rejected a good conscience and shipwrecked their faith. Shipwrecks happen because someone veered off course. We recently had that ship up in the Baltimore Harbor, right? That, you know, something happened with the system and it shut down and it just drifted right into the bridge, right? Francis Scott Key Bridge, I believe, and took it down in minutes. Well, shipwrecks happen because someone veered off course. And if you look back up at 1 Timothy 1, verses 5 and 6, we see where there's a swerving off of course. Paul says in verse 5, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience. There's that pure heart, there's that good conscience again, and a sincere faith. He says, we want someone who has a good conscience with sincere faith, issuing forth love, telling people not to teach other things and not get distracted from them. Because in verse 6, certain persons, by swerving from these, from this good conscience and pure heart, have wandered into vain discussions. And suddenly they're talking about politics 24/7 instead of the gospel. Or they're debating homeschool, Christian school, or Enneagram studies. And suddenly these conversations begin to distract people. And they swerve. Sinful decisions lead to swerving off the righteous path and wandering away from the faith. Unchecked wandering leads to rejection of a good conscience and a shipwrecked faith. And so while this morning's message is geared towards men in our congregation, the teaching that happens to everyone in the congregation. And it may be that you find your conversations filled with a lot of things besides the gospel. And I'm not saying we should talk about the gospel 24/7. I'm just saying you need to be on mission with your life. And if suddenly you find yourself just talking about all these other things and not concerned about Jesus' authority in your life, check yourself. You're veering off the righteous path. Repent and get back focused on the gospel. Start praying for lost people. Start sharing the gospel with people. Start knowing your God better, reading your Bible, and getting to know Him better so you can trust Him more. When someone follows their sinful desires more than they follow Jesus, they are behaving in a way that is inconsistent with the born-again believer. So now we're off of swerving into shipwrecking. We've actually entered into that realm of sin, and it's something that they're not departing from. The church is to turn unrepentant sinners over to Satan. There's King Jesus, and then there's Satan, the ruler of the air, the one who is in these spiritual evil authorities. We turn over unrepentant sinners to Satan. Paul is doing this in hopes that these guys will finally repent. They won't see it. They won't repent of their errant teaching and their errant ways. So Paul says, you guys need to go live under Satan's kingdom because you're not living under Jesus' kingdom. You may have had your children at some point in your life. They're saying, well, so and Jimmy's mom and dad lets them do this. And Jimmy's mom and dad lets them play games till 4 a.m. And Jimmy's dad, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you know, you're just like, well, you know, why don't you go live with Jimmy's dad? Because that's not going to happen in our house. Similar to what the church has to do, but in a much more serious way. There are times when people are unrepentant of their sins and we say, look, we can't confirm your profession of faith anymore because you are acting like an unbeliever. And you need to, we're taking away your membership. We're excommunicating you. We're saying that you should not partake of communion here at Faith Baptist Church because your sin is serious and you're not taking it serious. Go live under Satan's kingdom. And hopefully, when you see what life is like under Satan's rule, you'll repent and come back under the rule of Jesus. The goal, as with Paul and these men, is that they will learn not to blaspheme Jesus by their actions and ultimately repent. You see, because ministry is warfare, Faith Baptist Church needs men committed to their faith and a good conscience to avoid catastrophes. Some people in the world wake up every morning thinking about war. Thankfully, here in the United States, we don't. But beloved, when we wake up in the morning, we need to understand we are in spiritual warfare. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are two kings. Who's your king? Because ministry is spiritual warfare, Faith Baptist needs to authorize capable men to engage in the fight. So everyone here, pray that God will gift us with more pastors. Everyone here, look for men of good character and faith to recommend as a pastor. Everyone here, don't get distracted from the family business. Don't make mountains out of molehills. Let molehills be molehills. Let the gospel be the mountain. Because we need to be about the gospel. We need to live our lives of devotion to God that reflect well upon the gospel. Don't get sidetracked. And to the men, and if you want this to be a Father's Day message, especially the dads, be men of good character and faith. Be men of good character and faith. Live the gospel. There's nothing more important. Because ministry is spiritual warfare, Faith Baptist needs to authorize capable men to engage in the fight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day and for your love and your grace that you've shown to us through the gospel. How you poured out mercy and grace upon us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that we here at Faith Baptist Church would be about the gospel. We'd be about the family business. And Father, I pray that you will protect us from distractions, I pray that we will receive warnings from one another when we begin to get off into other areas that cause us to stray and to get off focus with our lives. And Father, I pray that we will live lives that are devoted to You and to Your kingdom and Your glory and display Your power through holiness. And Father, we need as many men as You'll give us to help pastor Your people. So we ask You to give us the gift of more pastors here at Faith Baptist Church. People who will serve as pastors, even as lay pastors, Father, without pay. I pray, give us men that we can commission to the cause, that will be committed to living their lives, that will living their lives of holiness and being strong in their faith as we engage in this warfare with Satan's minions and his deceived teachers. Lord, give us men who will glorify You with their lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.